morning. Today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020. Today we're going to focus on He is faithful who has promised. Last night we sent a message to those who received teaching links via email about the president declaring today, Sunday, as a national day of prayer. And we want to follow up by addressing the present viral pandemic that is loose in the world, which Satan has unleashed upon humankind. For weeks now, the press of information and misinformation has brought massive amounts of news coverage about this public health crisis. Communications will, of course, intensify in the coming days, that's for sure. And the main thing we are sure of is God and His counsel to those who will hear. In His Word, God speaks definitive truths to govern every and all situations. In the Passion Translation, Psalm 119:60 reads, "The sum total of all your words adds up to absolute truth, and every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting." While dates, names, and details are going to differ, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning with verses 9 and 10 in the New Living Translation, tell us, "History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new." Sometimes people say, "Here is something new," but actually, it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. That's verses 9 and 10 in the New Living Translation. Yet, every one of God's righteous decrees is everlasting. The sum total of all His words adds up to the absolute truth. In verse 139 of Psalm 119, again in the Passion Translation, it says, "The motive behind your every word is pure, and your teachings are remarkably faithful and true." Well, a motive, literally, it's the inner desire that prompts an action. Well, God is light. God is love. Those are His inner desires. And this verse says that His word is pure and remarkably faithful and true. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Chapter 10 verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1 8. They all share this verbiage. God is faithful. He promised, and God is faithful. Hebrews 10, verse 23 exhorts, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." So for the next few minutes, try to set aside your mental assessments of all that we have increasingly heard over the past few weeks. And let's dwell on the good news, which is true from the beginning and endures forever. The word wavering, where it tells us not to waver, it means to incline, to bend, or to move around. Now, all of us are human. Humans, alone with their own thoughts, can run the gamut. We touch upon every note of the scale, for sure. And human responses to situations we face right now would some, there may be many more, but fear, worry, anger, suspicion, distrust, on and on. Fear that we, our families, or our friends will fall ill. Worry that we might not receive medical services or have the supplies in our home that we need. Anger over the argumentative and contradictory news coverage, all of the suspicions of conspiracy theories, and we might have distrust of everyone that offers updates and safety tips because they seem to change every few days. What's the most important thing to protect yourself? And additionally, we're aware that in this world today, often greedy gain is the guiding principle. For many of us, wouldn't it be nigh to impossible to prove what is accurate and what is inaccurate? You know, we're not scientists, many of us. There may be some of us that are. Not all of us are medically trained. Not all of us are researchers or familiar with medical histories of pandemics and so forth. So the statistics, the measures that have been taken, the impact around the globe, the true nature of the pandemic, as it's being called, it's just, where would we start? So it is very understandable any of us can fall prey to feelings and emotions at a time like this. And really, I want to tell you right now, don't feel bad for another second. Immerse yourself in God's sea of love. Bathe your thoughts in the pure and sanitizing words of our Father. Allow all the worries, anger, distrust to soak loose and float far away from you. Then emerge clean, soothed, refreshed, and dry off. Be lighthearted, having cast off the feelings and emotions that have probably made you feel not so good these past few weeks. And having given your cares to the Father, knowing He cares for you. And another very troublesome response in the face of adversity that I do want to just touch on can be the unknowing utilization of what I'll just term as a mantra. And it's where we spout off truths or one-liners from the Word of God that we have really not made our own in our living, in our knowledge and belief. We may know them, but we've never proven that word. We don't want to present ourselves to the enemy as elite, functioning, armored believers when we know we have not tried that armor. We don't want to make big claims. Mantras stem from Eastern religions, and they're really used as verbal formulas that they would repeat in prayer and meditation, and it would help them concentrate. There is also a lot in print and online in books about successful, quote-unquote, leaders who use mantras in daily life, thinking that that is what has built their success. The warning is, don't go around spewing out words of life when you know you don't believe or trust in them. If you don't believe and are doubting, humbly go to the Father and ask Him for His help. Positive one-liners, they're not the armor of God. Fellowship with God is our armor. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Power. The devil can spot a mantra a mile away, and he will make spoil of the person that is saying it. Rather, make this your own. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Be unbendable and without wavering in your trust in God. Ephesians 6:17 talks about the helmet of salvation. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That's what we take unto ourselves. In Psalm 18:30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of God is tried He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. A buckler is a shield. It is defensive armor. It could be kind of likened to overlying scales that cover and protect us. Psalm 17:4 says, "Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips," speaking about God, "I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Now think about this. By the word of God's lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Give that some thought. It's not memorized words alone. It is words from his lips that you hide in your heart and that comes forth from you as in truth the word of the Lord. In Psalm 119:140, it says, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it." It is not a mantra. It is the Father's pure words of life that you have come to know, to believe, to trust in, and to love. For all believers, with our belief and trust in God, there are no variables. We all are instructed to do the same thing. With all of our hearts, trust in God, love our neighbors as ourselves. There's no variables on the spiritual side. All believers are accountable for the same thing. But how about the practical side of life? Here we are. We're a big group of believers. We're in the family of God. But the physical or material means of people and families do vary. Our earthly means and circumstances in life differ. And we can also have angst or nervousness about a lack thereof in the material means. But the Apostle Paul gave this wisdom in Philippians 4:11 when he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." God tells us to be content with such things as we have. So clearly the emphasis is on knowing and believing God with all our hearts, to the end that we trust in him alone. The weight is not on our means to take care of ourselves. So this brings us to a few practical questions. What if you have to work and you're unable to isolate, quote unquote? Or perhaps your particular profession keeps you in the middle of this fray. You can't get away from people because of your profession. Or how about if you don't have funds enough to buy or stock up, buy ahead? You know, really the what ifs are without number. And so are the promises of God. So the encouragement is, be content with such things as you have. Be resourceful. Allow God to work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Partner with neighbors, family, friends, co-workers. Sure, we go to God. Of course, that's first and foremost. But we also develop strength within our communities and our workplaces to take care of the various needs. Don't be afraid to ask for help. That's for sure. Matthew 10:16 says, "Be wise as serpents," and of course, harmless as doves. The Common English Bible for Proverbs 14, verses 15 and 16 says, "The naive believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." And metaphorically, throughout the Old Testament particularly, steps are said to follow the footprints of God. So it'd be very wonderful study this week to look up steps in the Old Testament, particularly in some of the scriptures, Psalms, Proverbs, like that. but steps are said to follow the footprints of God. Utilize the Word of God and His Holy Spirit gift at work within you to discern your steps, your actions, the things that you're going to do in the material realm to do as much as you can. No autopilot. So maybe you can't isolate with your job. Isolate when you can. Don't go on automatic pilot. Well, I can't isolate from my job, so I can go to the movies. I can get together with this group. I can go to a concert. You know, you have to do what you have to do. Don't do what you don't have to do. So discern each step in your life. And the same with shopping. When you can shop, do so. Verse 16 goes on to say in the Common English Bible, the wise are careful and avoid evil, but fools become excited and overconfident. So we don't just say, I'm not going to get this thing. You know, it's kind of a foolish statement when you really think about it. Do we pray that we're not going to get this? Of course. So we'll look at this verse in Psalm 37:31 regarding steps, just to show you how this works. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So when the word of God is in our heart, guess what? Our steps are sure. Our steps are sure. The promise of God is that he will care for us. He will meet our needs. That is our authentic. That is our legitimate. That is our rightful biblical expectation. No matter the circumstances, he is faithful who has promised. I'm not going to spout my mouth off that I'm not going to get the coronavirus. What if I did? If I do, God will meet my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is my biblical expectation. And here's another fear that is kind of looming in the background, or maybe the foreground, depending on your situation. What about the stock market? Do we have a promise of God that the stock market is going to rebound? No, the stock market isn't even mentioned in the Bible. But it does say, I was young and now I'm old and I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So we want to homologeo. We want to confess the word. We want to say what God says. So we don't want to get sidetracked or confused and then disappointed about confessing things that mankind has no control over. I don't have control over the stock market. But God has control over my care when I lay my care at his feet. Remember, seek God and ye shall find him in Jeremiah. So he will take care of us no matter. So from your heart, say the same thing as the word of God. And I was thinking this week, I actually looked up a transcript of our teaching. And the final teaching in 2019, as we prepared our thoughts and our teachings for 2020, was building upon our biblical expectations in 2020. And we dedicated our future teachings to the development and understanding of our fellowship with God, knowing and believing who we are in Christ. And it is our daily prayer for all the children of God to be illuminated, inspired, and moved to joyful action, knowing and believing their position in his kingdom. And speaking for Larry and I, it really is our sincerest desire that beloved ones reap God's provisions in extraordinary portions. Psalm 17:4 says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. We read that verse a little earlier this morning. But verse 5 goes on, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon me, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. And listen to this verse. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them, cast them down, deliver my soul from the wicked. Now these verses do seem to talk about, I mean, David is literally talking about his enemies, that were, of course, working the works for the devil. But how about a pandemic? How about something that is so impacting the globe? That's an enemy. And these verses certainly relate to that. And the devil will be disappointed in this. And no matter what the news agencies report, the truth is that the coronavirus is a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy of the devil. No matter how it started, no matter how it is managed, it is from the pit of hell. And humans, no matter how sincere and skilled they are, most of them have no experiential understanding in the things of God. I'm certainly not saying all for sure, because I do know some wonderful beloved ones who work in the medical profession, for example. But these people, well-meaning, very sincere, very skilled, they're trying to wade through all of this for us. So today, being the National Day of Prayer, let's pray. And you know what? Tomorrow, let's pray again. Let's make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray for all of mankind. And in the name of Jesus Christ, let's rebuke the works of the devil. Let's thank God for his deliverance. We want our time each week that we get together with you to be practical and helpful for your life. And next week, Larry's going to be teaching according to how God works within him to bring us all along through another week. So God bless you. If you want to reach out and talk to us, we are always here for any one of you. So our love to all. Have a bountiful week with the blessings of God. And best of health to each and every one. Love you.